الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي، فنفوز فوزا عظيما.
صلوا اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
My dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. And peace be upon all of you. In case you don't understand my Arabic, so let me make it purely English for the sake of those who don't have any Arabic background, or our visitors and respected guests. Anybody remembers the ayah that we had last night? Before, mashallah, good, at least. No, let me check the sister's side, because alhamdulillah, some hands goes up. Yes, sister, right at the corner. I couldn't hear you. What did she say? The ayah that we had discussed last night. I think you said something else. You can call a friend if you want. You've got this program here as well? Ahsanti, alhamdulillah. Alam ya'lam bi'anna Allah yara. You say that that's a rhetorical question. God is asking those who are committing the sin, does he know not that God is watching him? And we spoke about that. Alhamdulillah. One more salawat, inshallah, for official starting of tonight.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qul i'malu fasayarallahu amalakum wa rasuluhu wal mu'minun. وستردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. At least you have the first part of the ayah on the screen, as you can see it, inshallah, in Arabic, English and Danish translations as well. This is the message for tonight, in continuation of what we were talking about. And remember, what I'm aiming you, I'm sure you're following me, what I'm aiming in these sessions is practically following the path and the lifestyle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We said right from the beginning of the first night that there is a call from Imam Hussein alayhi salam for all his lovers and followers, supposedly, that he is calling for help. Hal min nasirin yansuruni? Is there anyone out there to help me? And we said Imam Hussein is not physically alive now, and it's not possible, it wasn't possible for us to go back to the history to help him physically. So what he is calling us to is what the Prophet is calling us to, what is God is calling us to, and that is to become a better Muslim. No matter where you are standing, there is always room to improve yourself, to get close and closer to God for proximity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say that we are here to say Labbaik Ya Hussein, at your service. We are ready, inshallah. From a type of a person, a kind of person that I am, I've come here to learn more so that inshallah I put it into practice. Last night we mentioned one of the deterring factors on the one hand, and on the other hand, one of the very encouraging factors for us to do good and stay away from evil is to understand, to believe with certainty that our Creator, our Cherisher, our Provider, the Almighty God is watching us at all times. No matter where we go, there is no such place existing at all, impossible. Philosophically, we said it's impossible to find a place that is a privacy, that God doesn't see us, so that we feel free to do what we want to do. All right? So we spoke about the knowledge of God, and that God is a witness over all what we do, over all what we think of, or even our imagination. Before we think of something, the Almighty God knows about it. Therefore, we as believers are expected to behave better in the presence of the Almighty God. Tonight I want to take you one step further. It is not only that God is watching us, there are more witnesses. Inshallah, as we go further, you'll be more surprised and you'll be hearing more surprising stories that there is no such thing in this world as privacy. Absolutely not. From the religious perspective, there is no privacy, although in a common sense also there isn't. So because there is no privacy, I am expected to behave better. The ayah that we have for tonight is the second step to those who are witnessing over our actions and intentions. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Qul i'malu. The Almighty God is sending a message through His Messenger, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pass this message to mankind, to everybody, believers or non-believers. Whether we believe in the sun in the sky or not, it's there. Okay? If I don't see it, if I deny it, doesn't make any difference in reality. God sends a message universally to all mankind. قُلِ عَمَلُوا. This قُلِ عَمَلُوا, it means do your deeds. Do as you wish, good or evil. I have given you this exceptionally free will so that you have a choice to be a good person or a bad person, to swear or have a nice word. So do as you wish. You have freedom in this world. It is not my will, my plan, to stop you miraculously at the time of a sin or to push you to do something good. I have given you free will. So, do as you wish. This do as you wish, do any deeds that you want to do, carries two meanings, just like two-sided coins. On the one hand, it's encouraging us to do good because soon we learn that God is watching us. On the other hand, it's telling us that you want to do bad, you want to steal, you want to go wrong way, go, let me see how far you want to go. You are under the control. You can't go too far. But I let you deliberately to go a little bit further, to do your very best, to see how far you want to go, how far you can go. Doesn't mean that if God is telling us do, He is really pleasing with whatever that we do. I give you an example. Some years ago, and I deliberately don't mention the details because it's going on YouTube. I don't want to put myself into trouble. Some people, they say, Sheikh, the story you mentioned was about me and my friends, I don't know, somewhere else in the world, watched it and they knew you're talking about me. So I deliberately make it a little bit like ambiguous. Some years ago, somewhere else in the world, and in an Islamic center, there was an issue with the council, with the local council. The town planner of the council, later at night, he comes to make a report. Because they were supposed, for example, to close at 10 o'clock. It's almost 10 o'clock and the town planner is sitting in his car, keep making a report, whether they close on time or not. One of the brothers, he goes out and speaks to the town planner that, sir, we've got a special occasion tonight. Do you have any issue if we stay longer? He says, do as you wish. I'm here to just make a report. That simple, that naive brother goes in and he's telling his mates, his friends, that brothers, don't worry, we can stay for as long as we want. I myself spoke with the town planner. He doesn't have any issue. Does he have an issue or he doesn't have an issue? Of course he does, but when he says that do as you wish, doesn't mean the like approval of staying longer. He says, I'm here to keep the record of what you are doing, to write a report. وَلِعْمَلُوا do as you wish not doesn't mean that God is approving whatever we do. God says that I have given you free will, do as you want, but I'm keeping the report and the record of you, as I will tell you. وَلِعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ. This scene that you see on the screen of Sayara, normally in Arabic, scene and sofa are for the future, like wheel in English. As you can see, deliberately, I did not put wheel. I have no idea about the Danish translation. Even if there is a wheel, many translators, they translated wheel. But I explained that this is not a wheel. Even if you translated wheel in English or similarly in Danish, you have to understand that this wheel is not for the future. This wheel is for emphasis. Like when you say in English, boys will be always boys. This wheel, we use it wheel, but we don't mean the future. Like now they are not boys, they will be boys in the future. No. This wheel is like when you say boys will be always boys, you say it means boys are always boys. So why do you use wheel? Not for the future, to emphasize on what you are talking about. Likewise here, وَسَتُرَدُّونَ before, وَلِعْمَلُوا فَسَّيَّرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ. Surely, you have to translate it like this, surely God is watching you. Because the reason that I say this scene is not for the future, unlike the next one, because it's not that God doesn't see us now. And later on, in the future, when the angels bring the book of action on the day of judgment, God says, oh, really, you have done this? Okay, now I know about it. This is rather blasphemy. As I'm speaking now, as you are sitting now, God is watching us. We spoke about it last time. So seeing here is not a future. It's emphasized for God's vision over us. فَسَيَّرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ. God definitely sees your actions, any action, good or evil. That was about last night. Tonight, the ayah continues. وَرَسُولُهُ. The second witness over our deeds, our actions, is the messenger. His messenger, the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third is the believers, al-mu'minun. So tonight I'm introducing two more witnesses over our actions, besides Allah. And may God forgive me to say besides Allah. The difference, of course, is when God is watching our actions, our deeds, intentions, and everything, God is watching our deeds independently and essentially as the Creator. But as the Creator, He has the power to enable certain humans to be able to see things that ordinary humans cannot see. Inasmuch as He has the power to enable certain humans to perform certain acts that ordinary people will never be able until the end of the world to do it. That we call it miracles. Moses could perform miracles. Jesus performed so many miracles. Prophet Muhammad, these prophets, they were performing miracles that ordinary people can never do that. Likewise, the Almighty God can enable and has enabled certain humans, certain very pious humans, infallible humans, to be able to see the unseen, to see what others cannot see. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. God is the knower of the unseen, and no one can know about the unseen. إِلَّا مَنْ اِرْتَضَىٰ. Then there is an exception. God says, except those that God is pleased with them, that He will enable them to see the unseen, the secrets. We have this in the Quran that Jesus Christ used to say to His community, sometimes, I can inform you of what you have, like what you have saved in your safe. I can tell you how much like gold or silver, exactly the amount that you have saved it in your safe. How on earth does Jesus know that? Has never been to that person's house. I can tell you what you have stored in your storage. This is speaking of the unseen. Like He doesn't have to go physically see it. God enables him. They can hear what others cannot hear. They can smell what others cannot smell. Jacob, he is in Canaan, Palestine, and he smelled the scent of the shirt of his son Joseph from Egypt. Miles away, what kind of sense of smelling is this? Not an ordinary sense of smelling, alright? So have no doubt, قل اعملوا فسيرى الله عملكم فسيرى الله عملكم ورسوله والمؤمنون. مؤمنون believers, here there is a dispute about the meaning of this ayah between the Shia scholars and the Sunni scholars. Majority of Sunni scholars, they say that al-mu'minun believers, here it means all believers. All believers can see what others they do. Shia scholars in return, they say no, this applies to certain believers, the most real pious believers only God has enabled them. The reason is the following. Number one, the truth is that it is not possible for all believers to see what others do. Is it? Like, inshallah, you and I, we are believers. How do we know? How much do we know about each other? You only know about me or what you see. You are judging the book by its cover. I'm judging you by your look. They come to me and say, Sheikh, is she a good girl? Is she a good boy? I say, wallah, how am I supposed to know? La a'lamu al-ghayb. Oh, yes, she comes to the mosque. She goes to the mosque. And in the mosque, I see her with the hijab. But outside, wallahu a'lam. I have no idea. All right. So although we are believers, but we don't know about the secrets of each other. Due to God's mercy, of course, it's so good that we don't know. Thanks to God, you don't know about me. All right. You wouldn't invite me otherwise. At least I'm honest. So the Shia, they say that this is not for every believer. Al-Mu'minun, it means certain believers that we say they are the true successors of the Prophet. Those who have the position similar of the Prophet after his demise. That, and they are the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. This is one reason. Second, among the believers, the reason that God here, he says that God is watching you, Prophet is watching you, and certain humans are watching you, is not just watching because you want to enjoy a scene. They are watching because they're supposed to, on the day of judgment, give their testimony. They are witnessing over our deeds so that on the day of judgment, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Sayyidah Zainab salamullah alayha, they come up and they say that I bear witness, Ya Rab, that these ladies, these girls, these guys, they went out of their way, they attended majlis that was held in memory of my son to give their testimony to your benefit or God forbid against you. Now, Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, among believers, among Muslims, there are those that لا تجوز شهادته على حزمة بطل. He is not qualified to give his testimony on the issue of like a bunch of vegetables. Not everybody is qualified to go to sit on the witness box and give his testimony. There are some conditions in Islam. The witness that has to have certain conditions. So definitely, as practically we see it, it's not true to say that applies to all believers. And also conditions, when look at it, doesn't really apply to all believers. Certain believers. وَلِعْمَلُوا فَسَيَّرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. In a nutshell, simply, this ayah means that do as you wish, good or bad. God is watching you. The Messenger of God is watching you. The successors of the Messenger of God, i.e. the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, are watching you as well. وَسَتُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. This scene here is for the future. And then on the day of judgment, you will be brought back to the judge of all the judges, the master of the day of judgment, Maliki of Medin. عالم الغيب والشهادة, the one who knows about the secrets, the known and the unknown, what was apparent of your action and what was concealed in you. As I said, the intention that I have, nobody is watching it as well. You don't know about my intention. At best, you and I, we know about our appearance. But our intention, God says that time will come on the great day of judgment, you will be brought back to me that I even know about your intention. What has crossed your mind? فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And then he will inform you of all what you had done. Because God is rewarding, especially rewarding based on the intention. See, we have the riwayat that says, the Prophet says that even if my action is wrong, I do something mistaken, but I've got a good intention. My intention is pure. I have a good intention. But I didn't know how to pray. But really, my intention was to worship God. Somehow, I didn't know, and therefore I made some mistakes. Will my prayer be accepted or not? God says, I accept it from you because of your pure intention. I judge you based on your intention, not your action. Likewise, if my intention was not pure, I was a hypocrite. But I was praying so humbly, so nicely, and all the rules I followed. Will this prayer be accepted or not? Will not be accepted. God says, because your intention was not good. Okay? So God says, on the day of judgment, when I judge, I don't judge people based on their look, on their appearance, or their actions, or what they have done, or what they have said. I judge them according to the sincerity of their intention. And in, because intention is secret, it's only me who knows about it. And those who come and give their testimony, like Prophet and the messengers, I had enabled them. Like in Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَأَرَيْنَاكَهُمْ. If we saw we, we will show them to you. This ayah is about the hypocrites. That God is telling the Prophet that if we saw we, will tell you who is the hypocrite among these people. Otherwise you wouldn't know, because they all look so like Muslim, pious and things like that. So how would he know about the hypocrisy of people? Because hypocrisy is internal. God shows, God enables Prophet to be able to scan people through, to see who is what. So قُلْ اِعْمَلُوا فَسَيَّرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَسَتُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Now we want to quickly come to the application of this ayah, the benefit of knowing that whatever that we say, whatever that we do, and the riwayat says that your actions will be shown to the Prophet and to the Imams of Ahlul Bayt every morning or every evening. Some other riwayat says that Mondays and Thursdays, like tomorrow, will be given to the Imam. Imam Zaman tomorrow evening will see your deeds of this week. Inshallah, he will endorse it. Inshallah, he will be happy with you. That this week was a better week for you than compared with the previous weeks. You attended your spirituality, your religious duties better and more. You behaved better because of Imam Hussein, because of Muharram. Because of this black shirt that you were wearing during the day, you behaved better because you had written on it, Ya Hussein. It's a black shirt that, like, it shows that you are the follower of Imam Hussein. You had said Labbaik, Ya Hussein, and so forth. The first application and benefit of believing that whatever that we do and we say, the Imams are watching us, is that we try to love to please them. Let me give you an example. You are working in a company, and now your boss has got some special delegation is coming. Millions of dollars involved, special guests, that there is a launch now, a business meeting, a business launch, and you are expected to serve the guests of the boss. Because you know your boss cares about these visitors and are so respected to him, for the sake of money even, you do your very best to make it a very successful meeting, alright? And serve the visitors, the guests of your boss as best as you can. At least to show off to your boss, isn't it? Forget about the business. You are somewhere here, for example, or wherever, that someone who's so respected, like you know that your dad now has got some visitors, and he has a lot of respect for those visitors. You try to serve them as best as you can because you want to please your father. The story here is like this. Such majalis of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, you are all visitors of Imam Hussein, no matter who you are. No matter who we are, no matter who we are. No matter how bad or good we are internally, we are all visitors of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, who is very generous. Imam Hussein alayhi salam loves his visitors, and as such, he doesn't want anyone disrespected. Knowing that you are all the visitors of Imam Hussein, those brothers, sisters, you know, there is so much entail to organize such things. Every night we are having free dinner. Come on, the poor cooks, as I'm sitting here talking, comfortably, the cooks are cooking for us. We'll have dinner inshallah later on. Is there a dinner? Inshallah there will be. I hope I'm not giving false promise. Every night is a free dinner here. We can't participate. So there are so many people sacrificing, going out of their time, spending, you know, chipping in from their money. What for? Because they respect you, they love you, because they love your host. Because they love the host, like the cook, I've gone there to Jafariya Center. The cooks are really doing it with absolute love. They enjoy it. They give me even the sick sheikh you have around as well. They really enjoy it. They don't feel tired or anything. And they show off to their master, to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, to Imam Zaman ajalla farajosh, because they know that they are watching them. Okay? I don't know whether I should tell you this story. No time, forget about it now. Let's move on. So the first is that it makes us behave better because we know that our master is watching us. Second, on the other hand, we should try our very best not to upset them, not to disrespect them. Sama'at ibn Mihran came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq told him, Malakum tasu'una Rasulallah. What's wrong with you guys? Why are you upsetting the Prophet? Sama'a says, Astaghfirullah, how did we upset the Prophet? And mind you that they are living 1.5 century after the demise of the Prophet. How did we upset the Prophet? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that, أَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ أَعْمَالَكُمْ تُعْرَبُ عَلَيْهِ. Don't you know that your actions will be presented to the Prophet based on that ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows your action to the Prophet. The Prophet sees your action. And when you do something wrong, it's upsetting him. Because you're related to him. People finger point as you as a Muslim, related to Prophet Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says to his another companion, Zayd al-Shaham. He was like a butcher. Is telling him that Ya Zayd, Khaliqun Nas, deal with people nicely, no matter who they are. Even if they don't belong to your camp, Sunnis and others, join their prayer. When they get sick, go and visit them. Deal with them so kindly, nicely, so that people know that, because they know you're related to me. And they say, Ha'ula al-Ja'fariyya. They are Shia, they are the followers of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Rahmallah Ja'far ibn Muhammad. لَقَدْ أَدَّبَ أَصْحَابَ. May the mercy of God be upon Ja'far ibn Muhammad. You see that how he has disciplined his followers? This one I can't help it, I have to tell you. As much as I don't want to. Somewhere in the world, once upon a time, a retired principal, he told me that Sheikh, after 30 years of being a principal of a public school, a government school, he said, Sheikh, I was the principal of a school that majority of people in that area, they were Muslims. And let's be frank, Shia also as well. Teachers, of course, they were not all Muslims. One of the teachers, she was very upset with some naughty Muslim boys. Inshallah, don't exist here. And guess what? Every time a student is in trouble, his name is Muhammad. Muhammad out. Muhammad out. He said, one day, a parent moved into our area and they brought their son to put his name and to put him to our school. As the principal, I took him, like 9-10 year old boy, I took him to the classroom. And I introduced him to the teacher. That means this boy is going to be in this class. She says, what's your name, sweetie? He said, Muhammad. Believe me, you know, he said, my God, another Muhammad. Astaghfirullah. This is a child, but what I'm talking about, if children are excused, adults are not. We as adults are not. At least we have to make sure deliberately, knowingly, we are not misbehaving. Because, you see, when you see me with this attire, it is not me, it is my clothing that represents, isn't it? You don't respect me because of me, you respect me because you see this clothing on me. If I take it off, you don't know me, I'm the same as everybody else. the respect that I get because you think that this is a prophetic cloth. Alright? Likewise, sisters with the hijab, they have a different expectations. On the train, on the bus, walking on the street with the hijab, she's representing her religion. It's not only herself. You're not free to do as you wish. As Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, and especially knowing that Imam Sadiq is watching her. Once I went to a shopping center with civil clothes. Shopping, of course, we don't go like this. It's not convenient, nothing for shopping. And guess what? All of a sudden, like what we say in English, I bumped into one of the girls, sisters that I knew her. She was without the hijab. Always I'd seen her at the center with the hijab. And outside, obviously, she's not practicing it. Because she was without the hijab, first second, I didn't recognize her. And first second, she didn't recognize me either because I was also without the hijab, so to speak. So, 1 second, we came to an eye contact and then we recognized each other. Later on, she sent me a message, Sheikh, it was so embarrassing for me that you saw me in the shopping center. I said, sister, why are you embarrassed of a humble, simple human, nobody, son of nobody like me? And you are not embarrassed of Imam Mahdi watching you? You are not embarrassed of God watching you, the Prophet watching you? This is the ayah. قُلْ اَعْمَلُوا فَسَيَّرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ. Today I was coming here, let me give a good example as well. On the couple of streets away, I saw from the distance a Muslim sister so respectfully dressed, so well dressed, so decently and walking. You know, you feel good, alhamdulillah. Imam Mahdi is watching her and Imam Mahdi says, MashaAllah, barakallah fiha. Praise for her. Abdullah ibn Aban came to Imam Ridha alayhi salam, says, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, pray for us. Imam says, as if I don't pray. Your actions are in front of us. When you do something good, we pray for you. Even when you do something bad, we pray for you. May God forgive him. May God wake him up. Because you are related to us. Salam ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
I mentioned that ayah again. I want to repeat it tonight so that it's registered in our mind, inshallah. Brothers, sisters. Because I'm a counselor, I'm a marriage counselor, family counselor, and every day tens of emails come from the community, different communities to me. I'm dealing with the youth issues. Allow me to re-emphasize and bring this issue up and again, so that inshallah, by the grace of God, by at the end of this night, we will become better people. If we have some wrong addictions, and I deliberately want to call it addiction, evil addiction, get rid of them. This is a good opportunity for you. For the love of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, get rid of them. Remember last night I mentioned that internet is not bad. Internet is a scientific tool. Scientists, they use it. I use internet a lot for my research and everything. What is bad is the abuse of technology. Okay? The problem that we have among some people, and unfortunately it has affected the youth, some elderly people, males, females in different ways. Yani, I'm embarrassed to tell you that people that you cannot, for the life of you, you cannot imagine. But because we unfortunately have fooled ourselves and we thought that I'm doing it privately, I'm having a private chat with her. Privacy on the net? You must be kidding me. There is no such thing as privacy. Every data, every picture, every video you transmit on internet is locked, is encrypted, and is easily accessible. That's a fact. If you don't know that much about technology, you're an illiterate person. Think about it. Your picture that you are posting on Instagram, Facebook, video that you are posting, you know, when you are downloading an app, you go through the process of downloading, you already consented that they access your gallery, they access your data. Otherwise, tell me, like these companies to develop programs like this, sometimes billions of dollars are involved. In this turmoil of business, where do they get the money from? spending that much money to give you free access to talk to each other, see each other for hours? Where the money comes from? To develop it, to maintain it, to upgrade it, they have to spend billions of dollars. And then and guess what? And it's free. Every time you hear this term free, F-R-E-E, rest assured that there is a string attached to it somehow. Somehow they are fooling. It's not free, my friend. They are selling your data. You are already consenting. It's not that they take it from you, therefore there is no lawsuit against them. You have consented it. That they access your gallery, they access your like your contacts, your all the information that you have, and then they sell it to a third party without notification, without telling you at all. This is one side of it. You need to be careful of what you're doing. And I'm not talking security reasons. I have no knowledge, no concern about, this is not a security discussion. I'm talking about giving them what you don't see. Yeah, why are you globalizing your life? This social networking, much of it is globalizing of your life. Why don't you respect your privacy in your life? Why is it that everyone in the world has to see your photo system? And kind of the photo. Sometimes, because they are in my contact list, I see their photos that they have chosen. First of all, you don't have to have your photo always. You want to have a photo, have something else. They put their photo with some friends that look so informally, it's so seductive. It's so seductive to the guys. You are inviting without realizing. Please check it with your brother. Check it with your husband. Check it with a guy that is mahram to you. Tell them that you think there's a problem with that. You are causing a problem to yourself. And then you get a message. I told you, these are not hypothetical situations. How beautiful you look. Can I have your mobile number? And the relation begins. Or you say, no, it's a religious chat that we have. I want to convert him to Islam. You don't want to convert. You don't need to convert anyone to Islam. First, convert yourself, my friend. Sheikh, it's a religious chat I have with him. And I tell them that, do you have to have the chat with him? Is it possible that your sister can continue the chat? Or you have to have it? Come on, man. We have to be careful. And you know what happens? Unfortunately, cases I've come across with clients sit with me. He says that I went on YouTube to watch a religious lecture. And you know, on the sidebar, something else I saw, and I ended up being in a different world. Completely a different world. SubhanAllah, this is where the shaitan is in ambush. Only if I'm sitting in front of my laptop or any device that I use. Only if I know that قُلْ اِعْمَلُوا فَسَيَّرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Look at the witnesses. Is there any chance for God's sake, if I know that Imam Mahdi is watching me, still I do like this? I chat with that girl like this? I chat with that guy like this? Impossible. We are here to increase our faith. I want to renew, repeat what I had said before. They are all connected, what I'm talking every night. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Most of those who give a lip service to Islam and they say we are believers, in reality are disbelievers. We are here to inshallah improve and increase our faith and our knowledge. And of course, always think of the positive side of it. Whatever good that you do, Imam Mahdi is عَيْنُ اللَّهِ النَّاظِرَةِ. He is watching you. صَلُّوا عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى مُحَمَّدْ.
اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلِي مُحَمَّدْ.
Let's go tonight, inshallah, to Karbala and share with you the tragedy of another martyr, of the martyrs of Karbala. Please, brothers and sisters, remember that the tragedy of Karbala took on the day of Ashura, obviously within some hours, not more than 4 or 5 hours maximum. Everything finished, all of them were martyred then. But because it's not possible to read the tragedy, speak about the tragedy in one day, every night we speak about any of them, one of them, and seek Allah's help, inshallah, through one of the martyrs of Karbala. Tonight, I want to introduce to you a very young soldier, not the youngest. I will be introducing the youngest later on, but tonight, a very young so-called soldier. He wasn't a soldier. A 10-year-old boy is not a soldier. But we call him soldier for his bravery, because of his bravery for Islam. He's the great grandson of the Prophet. His father, Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, was the grandson of the Prophet, so he's the great grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam. His name was Abdullah. His father, Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, passed away. In fact, he was martyred, as you know, while his mom was pregnant with him. So his mom was pregnant with him and his father was killed to death. This boy never saw his father, was born orphan. All right. As such, his uncle, his paternal uncle, his am, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, was a fatherly figure for him, an uncle and also a fatherly figure. Now you imagine if you have a nephew brought up in your house, from childhood he knows you like a father, and you've been caring about him, looking after him, perhaps more than your own children, because he is orphan. You try to fill the vacuum of the fatherly figure. Abdullah ibn Hassan, therefore, was so attached to his uncle, loved his uncle to death, and I'm not kidding you, it's not figure of speech, really loved him to death, as he sacrificed his life for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Because on Ashura, he's young, only 10 years old, he was in the tent with other children and ladies. Men are fighting, defending themselves, and these children suffering of thirst inside the tents. Now you imagine and visualize the scene that all men, including Abu al-Fadl Abbas, even has been martyred. In fact, even the infant of Imam Hussein that I will introduce him to you later on is martyred as well. This is now the situation in the afternoon, early afternoon of Ashura, that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is lonely. There is no one else to help him. All his manpower are gone. Imam Hussein by himself alone, he's fighting. And imagine one person versus an army of over God knows how many thousands. At the same time, because of his bravery, everyone comes for a duel, they cannot fight against Imam Hussein. Until the commander of the army, Umar al-Sa'd, la'natullah alayhi, he cried, he said, you cannot fight him. Hada ibn al-Anza' al-Batin. This is the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, Asadullah al-Ghalib. You cannot fight him one by one. Oh, everybody attack him. And imagine from every corner they were shooting. Arrows are hitting the body of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. No, and at the same time, they made a sword like a hole. And they trapped him in Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And he fell down the trap. And the rain of the arrows are hitting the body of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Wounded from everywhere, no energy anymore to fight. In that very moment, Imam Hussein alayhi salam had his painful cry. Hal min nasirin yansurni, hal min dhabin yadub an harami rasulillah. Is there any more helper for Hussein? Shi'yan mawalin. Your master, your imam is alone by himself. Let's go and offer him a help. But there is no answering more, because Habib is gone. Muslim ibn Usajjah is gone. Ibn Abu al-Fadl Abbas is martyred. But Abdullah, this young boy inside the tent, he heard the cry of Uncle Hussein. And therefore he just ran off. Sayyid Zainab tries to stop him, but to no avail. Abdullah says, La wallah, not until I'm alone. Not until I'm alive, I let my uncle be killed. And he's running towards the maqtal, the murder side. SubhanAllah, imagine the scene. By the time that this young boy gets there, one of those worse than animals had raised his sword to hit the head of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, and all what he could do was to protect the uncle with his arm. He stretched his arm, and Allahu Akbar, his arm was severed instantly. The pain of the sword, he cried so painfully. Ya Amma, Ya Abata, Adrikni. In that moment, he called for his father. He says, Ya Abata, Dad, help me. And then he, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, is hugging him. The orphan of the brother, the nephew dropped on the chest of his uncle. Imam Hussein alayhi salam slowly, softly talks to him, Ya Abna Akhi, Isbir ala al-bala. Ya, my dear nephew, be patient. Soon you will be joining your father in paradise. And as Imam Hussein alayhi salam is talking, another one, Harmalat ibn Kahil al-Asadi al-La'in, Ramahu bisahmin, fadabahahu. Then he shot him to death with an arrow and pierced his neck through. And Abdullah died on the chest of his uncle Hussein, ala la'natullah. على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون سلام
الله صل على محمد وآل محمد.